Tuesday, July 23rd. Today in Europe, Great Britain will get the largest budget in its history, and the British people will be about to give some 60% of their national income in the defense of their land and their attempt to overthrow totalitarianism. In the Western Hemisphere, at Havana, the conference of 21 American republics gets into full swing under the leadership of the United States. But now the news direct from important capitals, Berlin, London, and Havana. First, Edwin Hartridge reporting from Berlin.
This is Berlin.
It will be war between England and Germany. That was the official statement handed out at the Foreign Office press conference this noon. It was the German government's answer to the speech of Lord Halifax last night. The English Foreign Affairs Minister had stated that Great Britain would carry on the war. And so the Wilhelmstrasse this morning, or less than an hour ago, had its answer. The Foreign Office spokesman said that Lord Halifax had refused to accept the peace offer of Herr Hitler. All is over between the two countries. There will be war, he said. And thus we have from official quarters the first concrete statement about the future. It is a grim statement. It seems to mean that all attempts to end this war between the two great remaining powers in Europe today are finished. Herr Hitler has thus indicated that he is ready for the Blitzkrieg. When we'll start is another unknown chapter to this story. And here are some of the headlines in the Berlin papers this morning, which tell their own story. The Folkischer Beobachter, Churchill's answer, the cowardly murdering of a defenseless population. The Lokal Anzeiger, Churchill's answer, murderous attacks on civilian population. And this Wolfeirblatt, Churchill's answer, bombs on German towns. And these same headlines appear at the top of the front pages of the Boston Zeitung and the Deutsches Allgemeine Zeitung. And the sub-headlines amplify on what is, quote, Churchill's answer, unquote. For instance, they report air attacks on women and children, criminal raids by night on non-military objectives, civilian populations attacked at random. And so, the Berlin press this morning is launching a concerted campaign against the British government. And what is interesting is the story under these headlines, which, word for word, is the same in all the papers. The German story starts out as follows, quote, a careful check on the enemy's air raids has shown that the British Air Force has multiplied its attacks on non-military objectives since Friday, when the Führer, in his great speech, tried once more to show the British people the way of common sense. Great numbers of bombs have been dropped, but the damage suffered was relatively insignificant. It has become clear that the enemy wants to strike at the civilian population, unquote. Then the story continues to give some details of these British air raids. And some of these interesting details have not yet been released in the press and the communiques. Here's a gist of the story. The British Air Force launched strong attacks against the large seaport of Bremen in recent nights, during which three persons were killed, three seriously injured. Several resorts on the German islands in the North Sea were also objectives of the Royal Air Force. And the German report goes on to state that Hamburg was again attacked on the night of July 20th, 21st. Numerous people were injured during the raids in the heavily populated quarters of that city. Our military objectives in the towns of Paderborn, Hagen, and Bochum in Westphalia were also raided. And during a night attack in the town of Schwerin, British planes first dropped flares before unloading their cargoes of bombs. In this raid, 10 people were killed, according to the German story. Kassel was also attacked on the night of July 20th, 21st. And during these raids, the British also used flares. Moreover, according to the German report, the neighborhood of Kassel was also bombed. German story, which appears in all the papers this morning, concludes with, quote, as the enemy used parachute flares, his intention to hit the civilian population has become evident, unquote. This story will certainly not build up any love for the Royal Air Force among the German newspaper readers. And it strikes a positive note, the first in days that have followed Herr Hitler's speech. But the German press has been greatly angered at the immediate and very critical British reaction to Herr Hitler's speech to the Reichstag. The papers accused the British government and the press of not speaking for the people, but only for what they described as the British warmongers. And now that that negative campaign seems to have changed, the German press is stepping into high gear. For its readers, the German press today gives what it considers to be Winston Churchill's answer to Herr Hitler's address. And that answer, according to the Berlin Morning Papers, is the bombing of civilian populations and non-military objectives. This is Edwin Hartridge. I return you now to Columbia in New York.
This is New York, and here's the latest news from Havana. The 21 American republics, under the leadership of the United States are moving toward a new plan to isolate the new world from war and from economic encroachment by dictators. This morning, a private session of the Conference of Foreign Ministers will receive drafts of proposals regarding new world possession of European powers. Plans also will be outlined for economic collaboration in the Western Hemisphere and for combating fifth column activities in the Americas. Now we return to Europe for more news. News reported from the British capital by Eric Severide. Go ahead, London.
This is London. The British Admiralty last night announced a new move to discourage a German invasion of Ireland. A minefield has been laid closing off the Irish Sea on the south. At its widest point, this field of explosive covers 50 miles of water. It extends from the Devon-Cornish coast to the territorial waters of Erin. And all ships wishing to enter the Irish Sea must now pass around the north of Ireland. The minefield helps to nullify the advantage of German submarine bases on the French coast. This afternoon, in the House of Commons, Sir Kingsley Wood, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, will make what is expected to be the shortest budget speech on record. It's a supplementary budget, calling for an additional $2.5 billion to meet the increased cost of war. There will be new income and luxury taxes. The individual's purchasing power is to be cut down to prevent the present trend toward higher prices from getting out of hand. The Chancellor may adopt the famous Keynes plan, rejected by Sir John Simon. This idea is to continue direct taxation of the wealthy and at the same time have the poorer classes forego part of their wages until after the war. This is to be combined with a system of family allowances and cheap prices for basic necessities. Or the Chancellor may increase the range of direct taxation to take in the bulk of wage earners as well as the wealthy. But no matter what is announced to Parliament today, one result is inevitable. Greater sacrifices for everybody in Britain. Britain's overseas trade in the month of June took another drop. Imports dropped about $60 million compared with May, and exports about $50 million. Here's this morning's communique from the Air Ministry and the Ministry of Home Security. I quote, "During the night, enemy aircraft dropped small numbers of bombs at many coastal points, including the Thames Estuary, South Wales, and Southeast Scotland. No fatal casualties are reported, but in one Scottish town, several persons were injured and damage was done to shop and house property. Farm buildings were also damaged in southeast Scotland. In England and Wales, little damage was done, but in one southeast coast town, an unoccupied house was demolished, and an electric cable damaged, which was soon repaired." Unquote. We're told there were no casualties in the estuary of the Thames, although about 20 bombs fell there. No estimation of the damage to shipping or docks is given in accordance with a general rule on these raids. At least 100 firebombs, as well as high explosives, fell in southeastern Scotland. The Admiralty has announced that a British destroyer, the Brazen, was sunk by a flight of German bombers. She sank while being towed back into port after the attack. The Admiralty says the destroyer's anti-aircraft fire accounted for three of the bombers and that all of the crew were saved. The Brazen was the vessel which located the sunken submarine Thetis last year in Liverpool Bay. According to the Admiralty, British destroyer losses are more than made up by the 40 new destroyers. And six of these ships, under construction for Brazil, have now been taken over for Britain. Another communique this morning says that early yesterday morning, planes of the Fleet Air Arm made an attack on Bergen. The visibility was low and weather conditions unfavorable, and so the main objectives were not in all cases attained. We're told that bombs were docked on the seaplane base, however, and an enemy anti-aircraft ship was sunk. 60 American businessmen in London have formed their own local defense volunteer unit. The prime mover in this was Charles Sweeney. And personal friends in America, they said, sent over their guns and equipment. And these Americans have now been training after working hours for the last 6 weeks. A report comes to London from Zurich this morning, which quotes Berlin observers as saying from Berlin that an official announcement will be made there today following the broadcast by Lord Halifax. This announcement from Berlin, we're told, would be the signal for the German attack on England. And according to the same story from Zurich, this would take the form of mass air raids. This is CBS in London, returning you now to New York.
That was the voice of Eric Severide reporting from London. Here's the latest news from the Balkans. Bucharest reports this morning say that Romania expects this week to learn Adolf Hitler's views about supporting Hungary's territorial demands against Romania. Hungary wants the return of Transylvania, ceded to Romania after the World War. The Romanians also believe that Russia soon will make new demands on their nation. Now the news from the Italian capital, reported by Cecil Brown. Go ahead, Rome.
This is Rome. The fascist press answers today the speech of Lord Halifax. The Rome newspaper, Popolo di Roma, says, quote, Halifax has replied to the generous appeal of Hitler with a negative and Jesuit speech, unquote. A Messaggero's headline reads, Halifax invokes the aid of God for the war to the end. Halifax, says the paper, has the sound of a hero who trembles. The British foreign minister said that England wants a peace with justice, and the fascist press believes he used a phrase copyrighted by Mussolini. The Popolo di Roma says when Halifax speaks of peace with justice, he contaminates and falsifies the Mussolinian formula. The Roman press, however, still counts on the overthrow of the Churchill government. The papers here insist that Churchill and the people are at opposite ends about continuing the war. They maintain that if the British people could make a free choice, they would vote for immediate peace with the Axis. Yesterday, a report from Switzerland was printed here that the Czech government might fall in 24 hours. According to this report, the House of Commons today would refuse to approve supplementary expenditures. This, the report claimed, would force Churchill to resign. Whether that happens remains to be seen this afternoon. The first concrete result of the talks Foreign Minister Czarno held in Berlin on Saturday appeared today. The Nazi Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop has called the Romanian Prime Minister and Foreign Minister to Salzburg for a chat. The meeting is scheduled for Friday. Neutral circles here in Rome believe that King Carol is about to hear the first direct orders from the Axis powers on how his country should behave in the future. The fascist press maintains that all is quiet in the Balkans. But it's felt in other quarters here that there is considerable rumbling. Russian pressure on Romania and the strengthening friendship of the Soviets with Yugoslavia may complicate the Axis plans for the Balkans. Bulgaria appears to be growing extremely restive about her claims against Romania for Dobruja. Hungary wants Transylvania, but she will behave until Budapest gets the signal from Rome and Berlin. But a Russian move to help King Carol realize his ambitions would throw Bulgaria more than she is now into the Russian sphere. Therefore, as we see it here, Romania is to be told on Friday that partition, as apparently it must do small countries, has now come to Romania. Haile Selassie, the sad-eyed Lion of Judah, former emperor of Ethiopia, is reported in the Anglo-Egyptian Sudan. The fascist press and radio are poking fun at him and have picked him to head what they call the British retreat in Africa. The newspaper Messaggero describes him today as a lion outside of a circus. The communique of the Italian High Command is brief today. Italian planes bomb Marsa Matru and Sidi Barani. These are two British bases in northern Egypt. The bulletin says fascist bombers also raided Rangier. The British attacked Dawa in East Africa, but the Italians say no damage was caused. The press here today confirms that the British are not quite ready to abandon Gibraltar. The Gibraltar garrison has been reinforced and now numbers 10,000 men. The papers say the Italian air attack on Gibraltar has created panic there, and all civilians now want to get away. A new tax went into effect today. It is 2% on all salaries and all purchases, and the money is to be used by the government to assist the families of men called to the covers. This is Cecil Brown in Rome, returning you to Columbia in New York.
This is New York, and that concludes this morning's report of important European developments, reported from Berlin by Edwin Hartridge, from London by Eric Severide, and from Rome by Cecil Brown. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting